Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday, list your mother's positive and negative qualities. Record and listen. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. Hi, it's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
Well, hello.
Hello.
What did you see?
One of the things I noticed was how everything was quite contradictory. So I was trying to list the positive and then the negatives. But then, as I stayed with it, I could sort of see examples of where that wasn't the case. So, for example, a negative quality might be that my mum wasn't really one to take full responsibility. Wasn't really a leader. But then there are examples from her life where she's, you know, done some amazing and extraordinary things. There might not be that many, but they are there. And then also from the positive, so my mum is very open-minded, but then the more I stayed with it, then I could see instances of where she hadn't been. And so that just sort of made me think about how complex really it all is, and
yes. Right, because we can certainly see ourselves in all of that, right?
Well, oh my God! This, oh yeah.
But then on the other hand,
and that does, and it does kind of lead you, or it leads me anyway, to sort of, well, why bother with any of it? Let's just enjoy it as it is, rather than
yes, exactly. Exactly, because depending on who we turn the examination over to, we conditioned mind is only going to see, say, with your mother or anybody's mother, it's only going to see the negative unless there's a way to come up with positive traits it can use against you.
Yeah.
So once we catch on to that, why bother? If your mother if one's mother is still living, then let's be present and enjoy what there is to enjoy of that. If one's mother is not present, then why ever give it another thought?
Yeah. It's certainly easier.
Way more pleasant.
More pleasant, definitely, yeah. And much better for the heart and soul. And just one last thing to say to that is, so obviously when it's your mum, you can find lots of things where, you know, it's been awful and it's been terrible and she's da-da-da-da-da. But again, even when I came up with, oh, she's self-centred, you know, and of course, you know, as we all are. But then even then,
yeah,
thank God
I'm not.
I know. But even then I could see that, well, that's only because she's actually trying really hard, but she's just not got the resources or the skills. And so it's like I could just sort of see really how she was always trying her hardest, really, and was always being brave all the time, really. Do you see what I mean? So that was kind of like the end where I got to with it all.
You know what I saw when you were laying that out is that the danger in indulging opinions about other people is that we are feeding a system that holds opinions about us.
Totally.
Right? Because we can't just cut it off in one area. Okay, well, I don't want those voices to say hateful things to and about me, but it's okay it's okay to let them say hateful things about other people because, well, that's kind of pleasant and it makes me feel better sometimes. Whatever is motivating that indulgence to realize that all we're doing is feeding the monster that is bent on ruining our lives.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and so to see, I love that perception. You know, it speaks to all of us. Everybody's trying to do the very best that they can with what we've got, right?
Yeah.
And so it's easy
to
look at somebody and say, well, why don't you blah, 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 failing to notice? Well, maybe that's not in that person's skill set. Maybe they haven't learned that yet. Maybe.
Well, I can see 1,000 times in my own life where I've, you know, not been, you know, how I would like to be. And then I can see, you know, totally, you know, it doesn't make me like a criminal or something. So,
Or unlovable.
Unlovable, totally.
That's the point. It doesn't make us unlovable.
That's
so huge. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's a good exercise. Right. Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anna. There were two things dropping in for me around that conversation. Both were processes that you pointed to, Sherry. One being that if we are constantly feeding the system, the system's process of making us be it or take ownership for it, right?
Yes.
That
identify
in
with
whichever
it.
Identify with it. I'm either a bad person. Or I'm a bad person because someone else is a bad person. Or something
but
like
it's always
that, right? That there's,
it's always going to come to I'm a bad person. There's something
that's
wrong
right.
with it. No matter how long it takes to get there, that's going to be the bottom line.
And what I heard you say is it feeds the personhood, right? That's what the system is doing. It's constantly building the self. And so the reason not to indulge it is because we're all committed not to indulge the ego, the mechanism that builds the ego. And the other thing that dropped in was that wonderful thing that about how changeable life is, right? Life is this and then life is this. It's only ego that attempts to define in absolutes a particular person. But we life defines that kind of limitation and definition. Yeah, I'm responsible in this minute. I'm not quite responsible in this minute, according to ego, of course. But the appropriateness of the response in each moment makes us mutable, not immutable. And to recognize that we're all that constantly changing expressions of existence. This is such a freeing thing that we don't have to define ourselves.
Yes. Judgment is completely unnecessary. You know, one of my biggest rants is Jesus in the New Testament, right? Where the thing that, as far as I can tell, now I suppose that I could go through and count better, but I think the point that he made most often was don't judge. Over and over in different kinds of ways, that was the message that he gave. And so I figure when I'm looking at what somebody repeats most often, I'm going to guess that that's the thing they think is most important because it's what they keep talking about. And that's what he kept talking about. And he positioned it in from every angle, making the point, don't judge. And so I think we could take that to heart and then take the next step, which is there is no argument for judging under any circumstances. So if we adopt that, then what it does is free us from being judged by that system that has its the most of its power through judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and to complete what you were saying earlier is that when we don't judge, we're not indulging the system that is judgment, and mm-hmm. we stop feeding the system that judges us. In other words, the pronouns are really irrelevant because judgment is what we don't indulge.
Exactly. We can lose judgment and the pronouns.
Yes.
Like cleaning house.
Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Wow.
Hello.
That was an impressive entrance. Hello.
Well, I was outside my car and a big truck went by, so I was like, oh my God, can you hear me?
Hello, Susan.
Oh, you recognize my voice. That's so nice.
Yes, now that truck is gone.
Well, this is Susan from the beach again, so I'm getting ready to get in the water. And, I come up with ideas about what I'm going to say. Then I hear the first caller. I'm like, oh, wow, I never thought of that. So, I did all my mom's, like, positive, negative, and it's so easy to get into the judgment train. And then it dawned on me that, well, my first thought was it didn't really matter. I loved her. And then more than that, I thought, she loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And then all those judgments became kind of, at best, interesting, but not really worth much.
Well, and basically, from the way you just presented that, those judgments have nothing to do with your life. The truth of the matter is, your mother loved you, and you loved her.
Yeah.
Who cares whether she was good at math?
Yeah, and under it too is this thing of it kind of goes back to when we were doing one should, we should, he should, that mm-hmm. whole exercise. Mm-hmm. Is that so many of my negative judgments came from kind of a what I'll call male perspective, like she was too passive, too submissive, too powerless, didn't do much in the world. You know, whereas I could have just easily said she was content, she had equanimity, she was peaceful. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And how culturally induced my judgments were. Because really, how do I know? I didn't ask her, you know?
That's right.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Yes. Boy, that's the biggest question we can ask, right? Well, how do I know that?
Yeah.
How do I know that? And even if you had asked her and she mm-hmm. said, you still wouldn't know anything. You still, because we never have, we can never look through somebody else's eyes. We just can't. We can never actually know what's going on with someone else. We can know what our projections are, and maybe mm-hmm. we can get mm-hmm. close, but we'll never mm-hmm. have one another's experience. We just won't. So why bother having opinions about them?
Yeah, it was just interesting to see that it was like my judgments were being channeled versus they were really my own. And to actually think of my mother as kind of content and having equanimity mm-hmm. and being a peaceful person instead of a victim, mm-hmm. passive, submissive is a really different, I don't even know if that's true, but, you know, it's like, you know, it's that, what is that Zen parable about the guy and the son and the horse and he breaks a leg and then the army? You know, it's like you never really know.
Right.
I don't remember the parable.
Maybe no.
Maybe no.
Maybe
exactly.
Yes. Maybe so. Yes, maybe no. Yeah. And all of that aside, what we can do is if people were really talking about it with their favorite childhood memory, you know, you can mm-hmm. just picture your mother and feel that love.
Yeah,
that's plenty, right?
Yeah, and I think for the longest time, some little piece, maybe not of me, but conditioning is, you can't love her because X, fill in the blank. She didn't do this, she wasn't that. Instead
right.
of, the truth was, I did. And it does, you know, I just did. That was the reality.
That's right.
But it was
that's
like
right.
holding
and she
out
just,
and holding back. Yeah.
And she just loved you, even though you didn't, or you weren't, or you wouldn't, or you couldn't, she still loved you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sweet, sweet feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, have a great, it's a surf, right?
Surf.
That you're
going
to have a great, all right, well, have a great ride.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Susan.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Susan. Sherry, I had the most extraordinary moment of insight in that it's that just because the judgment exists, it does not mean that love is diminished.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? That love is, if I love someone, just because the judgment arrives there, it does not mean that the love is negated. Because I think there's a conditioned idea that if you loved somebody, you wouldn't think any negative thoughts about them. But that's owning, that's identifying with the system as me, which is not true.
Which is not true. That's yesterday I was talking with somebody about that system that we're talking about, that ego system. And I said, imagine it's a radio that's in your back pocket. There, that's the picture we want to have. It has nothing to do with us. So ego's judgment has nothing to do with our experience of life. So you love somebody, that is your experience. The judgments that ego has about you or that person has nothing to do with that, except we conflate the two.
Yes. Yes, we conflate the two, and I project that because we believe it, we somehow believe that our love is imperfect, that we don't actually love. Because if we because the way that in that system, if we did love, then we wouldn't judge.
That's right. In fact, it's parallel to if you were the right person, you wouldn't have egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Yes. That is the base process, isn't it?
Yes.
That
if you
were truly somebody who is life or authenticity, then conditioning wouldn't exist in your sphere.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And to stay with that little radio in the pocket image, what we have in practice is the opportunity to put that radio down and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would project that the reason for that is because as long as we keep listening to it, it's going to keep broadcasting.
That's right. And
right?
It's broadcasting even if we don't listen to it.
Right. That's right. But
that's
we can walk away.
That's right. That's why I didn't add to the image and then you come back with a hammer and beat that radio to pieces. You know, that is not a requirement. It can do whatever it's doing. We don't have to attend to it. We can be off living our lives.
Yes, and if we do that, if we stop attending to it, even if it's broadcasting, we are not as tuned to be receptive.
That's right.
Believe it
That's
as
right.
much, hear
That's
it
right.
as often.
That's
yeah,
right.
it's sort of...
Mm-hmm.
Gets confined to its place.
That's right.
As what it is.
That's right. It exists. It does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't have to care.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. It's Patty from Vancouver.
Hello, Patty.
I've had the most extraordinary experience just being in the queue of insights about my relationship with my mother.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So what I was realizing was I can put the radio down and walk away, and I was so feeling this care for my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And the ego wants to say there's something wrong with you, that this whole thing about being imperfect in just loving and not having these judgments, ego tells me that there's jealousy towards my mother because she's never worked, but she's always had money and she's always been generous. And yet, for me, I have to work hard at that.
That's a perfect ego place, right?
Yes.
So envious, jealous, because she's never had to work hard, although we don't know what she was working hard at, right? But she's never had to go out there and toil away at a job, and yet she's always had money. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just run right over, and she's always been generous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where's the problem? Right. And you've always had to work hard. And then the question is, have you been generous?
Well, and that's where ego says, no, you're not generous enough.
Mm-hmm. Enough. It's one of ego's favorite words, right? Enough.
Right.
Whatever it is that you're doing, it's not enough.
That's right.
Yeah. Woo!
Yeah. And I had a similar sort of paternal, that my mother was not strong enough, she didn't fight back enough, you know, all those things as well, that I think is partly cultural, partly, you know, in the time I grew up where the father was the main breadwinner and the boss of the household. And so if I just look at it a little dispassionately, I have just more compassion for both of them than the judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because we don't know.
Right.
Right? We really don't know. And back to that, I think we were talking about it yesterday, deciding from a child, looking through a child's eyes at a world that is completely incomprehensible, where there is almost no information available, coming to conclusions and then living those conclusions for the rest of one's life. Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I could see sort of being in the dark room and then even as I was sitting in the queue, just coming more to lightness about both my parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bless their hearts.
Yeah.
I was listening to somebody yesterday who said, basically at this point, and they never once killed you. Right? Which, you know, when we've spent time around children, we can realize that is a true restraint and religious observance moment, right? Because mm-hmm. the stress, I mean, if you think about the resources that are available to us, say all of us who are just on this call this morning, the resources that are available to us as compared to our parents, and every generation that you are older, your parents had fewer resources, right? And they did what they did, and they launched us into the world with an opportunity to have whatever life we chose.
Mm-hmm.
There, that is a debt of gratitude that is huge to consider, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It sure is. Yeah.
Yeah, and when we're at center, of course, that's obvious. And then
mm-hmm.
ego comes in with this, but it wasn't enough. But
mm-hmm.
he was that way, but she was that way, and I didn't get that, and they didn't that, and I wasn't always the center of the universe from their perspective, and so I must be angry and bitter throughout my life.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Yeah.
All right.
It's so
well,
good
thank
to look
you.
At this. Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
As people often
say, these little simple exercises just take us to such deep places. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye.
Gesho.
Gesho.
Thanks, Patty. Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go.
All right.
Next caller, okay. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Anne calling from the Bay Area.
Well, hello, Anne.
Hey,
what
I want to echo what... Oh, I'm seeing so much, and I want to echo what the first caller yesterday said about how synchronistic these exercises are. Because
crazy,
how the heck were we going to know when this book was written, how long ago, and this retreat was formed? I just recently was around family and got to see so much. And I was, you know, looking at the exercise of what's your favorite memory of family. But here's what I want to – here's the thing I'm seeing that is so helpful. I was last weekend with my niece and her mom, my sister, and I didn't take these people personally. And I was able to enjoy them. And, you know, things would happen and I would go, oh, you know, in the past, I would have had a fit about that. And it was just like, it reminded me of, it's not the mosquito, it's our reaction to the mosquito.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, that tick no hop. Anyway, it's just like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not these people. This is going to be my current jag. It's not these people. And it's not what's going on. It's that these are my people, and this is happening to me.
Yeah.
Because
if they're just people, somebody else's relatives, they're just interesting and probably nice and likable and enjoyable.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, if I don't bring me into the situation, then there's not a problem.
Right.
I mean, that's just so huge.
That's a big statement, isn't it? That applies to a lot of life. If I don't bring me into it, there's no problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that actually includes this person, right? If I don't bring that conditioned perspective on this person or anybody, including, quote, unquote, my family, then what?
Yes.
Where's the problem?
Yes, exactly. That's back to that. The system does the same thing to others that it does to us, and it just goes back and forth. There's something wrong with them. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with them. There's something, and there's no nipping that unless it's a blanket nipping.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No bringing me into anything. That's what we're practicing. It's not that we're there. It's not that it's as easy as it can sound when it's in one short sentence, but that's what we're practicing. That's what we're working on.
Yeah, it feels like a life. I mean, obviously it is a lifetime's work, and it's simple, but nothing simple is easy, right?
That's right. And the good news is it gets better all the time, right? Because just in your situation, I've known you for a lot of years, and when we first met, you were not having that date you had with your sister and your niece. That was not going to happen, right?
No.
I would leave in tears. Yes, exactly. It would just be miserable all the way around.
Yeah.
And now, after practice, you can be with them, enjoy them, be interested in it, fascinated by it as a practice process workshop, and be happy about the whole thing and happy in your life. I can't think of anything more worth devoting a life to.
Yes. Yes, to not be part of the problem.
Precisely. And to enjoy that process.
To
It's not even self-sacrificing.
Yeah.
You know, you're the first beneficiary of the work that you're doing. And you're a contribution to the rest of the world. Hey, this is a very good deal.
Well, deep gratitude to practice. I mean, my heavens, I mean, it's just amazing to be able to sit there and watch that all and realize, hey, there's nothing wrong with these people. There's nothing wrong with me. It's all okay. In fact, it's enjoyable.
In fact, it's enjoyable. Yes. As long as me is not invited to the party, everything is. Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, thank
Amen,
you,
sister.
Anne. That's...
Thank you very much.
Amen,
thank
sister.
You, thank you.
All right. Go happy.
You too. Treasure yourself.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And
bye.
And Terry, that brings us to the end of the show. And our assignment today is watch to see how you exhibit each of these qualities in your life. Record and listen.
Oh, each of the qualities, the yay and nay of dad, the yay and nay of mom. How are
exactly
these showing up in my life?
Yes, I was when I was looking at this assignment, I remembered something you said to me once, that we are the perfect embodiment or something of our parents' relationship.
Yes. Yeah. Ooh. Very exciting. All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry.
And thank you, everybody.
Take care, and we'll talk to everybody on Monday.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy.